Halloween Early Birds. You've Caught the Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about a youth environmental activist group, ski-joring, and updates on the novel coronavirus. It's Friday, March 20th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Environmental activist groups representing 16 young Montanans are suing the state in hopes of changing Montana climate policies. Kayla DeRoche reports.
Advocate groups filed the lawsuit on behalf of the kids in Lewis and Clark County Court on March 13th. The suit criticizes the state for permitting industry activities like mining and resource extraction that produce what it calls excessive amounts of greenhouse gases. 17-year-old Claire Vlasses from Bozeman says the state should draft a science-based climate recovery plan.
I think that there is more that our state ought to do to move away from supporting and promoting fossil fuels.
The lawsuit says that current policies violate the kids' right to live in a clean environment. The law firms Our Children's Trust, Western Environmental Law Center, and McGarvey Law are representing the 16 kids ages 2 to 18. The defendants include the state of Montana, Governor Steve Bullock, and a number of state agencies, including the Montana Department of Environmental Quality and the Montana Public Service Commission. Some of these same kids were involved in a 2011 case Our Children's Trust filed in Montana Supreme Court, which ultimately failed. Our Children's Trust says it has similar cases pending in Florida, Alaska, Oregon, and Washington State. The firm also filed a lawsuit representing 21 kids nationally in 2015, and the organization filed for a rehearing this month after a court dismissed that case earlier in the year. YPR reached out to the Department of Environmental Quality, and a spokesperson said it is unable to comment because the lawsuit is ongoing. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
With erratic temperatures and snow, this year winter was weird in Montana. One unique sport that brings together horseback riding and skiing faced significant challenges because of the quickly changing weather. Melissa Ostrander had to put on another layer at the Red Lodge Rodeo Grounds on a recent Saturday morning while getting the horses ready for their races.
Yeah, this is actually the coldest race we've had this year.
Really?
It's been like 45 degrees, which is not conducive to ski joring.
Ski joring is a sport where skiers hold onto a rope as they are pulled by a horse being ridden at breakneck speeds.
It's awesome to be able to ride your horses in the summer, hunt and camp in the fall, ski joring in the winter, and then you're ready for summer again.
Most of the ski joring races scheduled in Montana this year were canceled due to lack of snow. Out of 12 races in the state, 7 were canceled because of weather. Kathy Whitlock, director of the Montana State University Paleoecology Lab, studies Montana's climate. She says warmer, shorter winters and more inconsistent ones, like the one we just experienced, may become the norm.
Our mountains have been getting near normal snowpack this year, but I think everyone knows that it comes episodically and it's really heavy and wet and it's going to melt pretty quickly this spring.
A nonprofit group of independent scientists released new research this week saying spring in Montana is getting warmer and lasting longer. According to the group Climate Central, winter in Montana is 6 days shorter than it was 50 years ago. Kristen Beck co-organizes the National Finals ski joring races in Red Lodge. The race happened days before large gatherings started getting canceled due to the novel coronavirus. Beck said the cold weather for the race was a surprise.
Honestly, we were coming into this weekend thinking we were going to have sunny skies and 40 degree weather, which is what we're known for. Then the snow came in and it's, you know, our biggest concern always is the horse track and the safety of the horses. And so it causes you to do reconfiguring, and the weather that we've had has just like been ball curves left and right.
Sherry Wiermer volunteers during the race and is a member of the Red Lodge Chamber of Commerce. She says ski jor races bring in money to local businesses and benefit nonprofits in the area.
A great percentage of what they bring in today actually gets donated back to many nonprofits around town. Along with that, just bringing folks to town to enjoy Red Lodge, to stay in our motels, dine in all our fantastic restaurants.
Last year, the race donated over $2,000 to local nonprofit, which Wiermer says is significant for small towns. Beck says as the sport's popularity continues to grow, Red Lodge and other communities with ski jour races will just have to hope for snow.
You just can't tell. Mother Nature does what Mother Nature does, and then we do the best that we can to work with it.
Round the corner, Alex Whitmer.
For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl.
There's your time.
With Montana News, I'm Corin Cates Carney.
And I'm Nikki Ouellette. Corin, it's been a week since Montana learned of its first confirmed case of the COVID-19 illness caused by the novel coronavirus.
And in that week, schools have closed, many counties have shut down places where people usually like to gather, like bars and restaurants, all to limit the virus's spread.
And emergency rules are now opening up for more people to access unemployment insurance. Telemedicine has relaxed some of its regulations, and we're starting to get some clarity now on developments that we've been following all week.
Like what?
So for one, the governor's office issued new guidance for public schools. He's approved a waiver that the state superintendent of public instruction asked for earlier this week so that schools don't need to make up the 2 weeks of instruction that they've lost during the closure order. They'll still get their state funding.
And that 2 weeks is just a minimum at this point.
Yeah, it is. If those closures are extended beyond March 27th, schools will need to get their school boards to approve plans for remote learning and other services in order to maintain that state funding. It sounds like most schools across the state are stepping up food delivery programs and setting up online learning. But it sounds like a lot of districts are having trouble figuring out how to support special education students. It's varying school district by school district, but they're supposed to use these next 2 weeks to figure out those plans. The Montana University System, which covers 16 schools in state, they are urging students not to come back to campus. They've announced they're going online for the rest of the semester. There are some exceptions for students with no alternative housing. They might be able to stay on campus but swap rooms and spread themselves out.
And the Montana University System doesn't include tribal colleges or community colleges.
And it's not just schools that are urging people to stay home, right?
Right. Montana Governor Steve Bullock is asking Montanans who've been traveling internationally to self-quarantine for 14 days to avoid spreading the virus in their community.
So I do have a nugget of good news. Access to telemedicine is opening up for a lot of people. This is in an attempt to kind of keep people away from healthcare facilities. So with telemedicine, you can now just do it by phone. You don't have to go by video chat, and that makes it available for a lot of people who don't have internet. You don't need to establish a face-to-face relationship with your medical provider. You can just start with telemedicine. That's new. And the patient and provider can be in the same place. It's usually not like that. Medicaid is covering all of these expanded ways to access telemedicine, and private insurance companies in Montana are doing something similar, but it varies company by company. Some are waiving copays for telemedicine. Some are allowing early prescriptions, that kind of thing.
The Montana State Health Department says it's closing down some of its offices that offer social safety net type services to limit face-to-face contact. People will still be able to send in applications for those services like SNAP food assistance, TANF cash assistance, and health coverage online, phone, fax, or email. And in certain circumstances, if people can't figure out those technologies, state workers will still be able to meet with people in person.
Staying with closures, there are more closure orders at the county level.
Yeah, Flathead County and Cascade counties, they're the most recent to join others in the state ordering closures for usual gathering places like bars, restaurants, casinos, theaters, recreational businesses like gyms and bowling alleys. There are still takeout options at some restaurants, although some businesses are saying that's still a hard way to make ends meet. And several other counties around the state are expanding their initial closures. So it's not just bars and restaurants, it's other places like gyms and workout studios. We just ran through some of the changes going on in the larger counties, but what are you hearing is going on in more rural parts of the state?
A lot of the healthcare facilities along the High Line are already making preparations for the coronavirus. So, for example, the Northern Montana Healthcare in Haver, they've set up an entire separate clinic in its own building for suspected COVID cases. Francis Mahon Deaconess Hospital in Glasgow has ended walk-in care for the clinic lab's radiology. You can get prescriptions, but only from a drive-up window. They're restricting visitors and rescheduling non-emergency appointments. Yesterday, YPR talked with Eric Connell, who is the CEO of Daniels Healthcare Center in Scobie. Despite everything, he says they're feeling pretty calm and they're coming together.
It's the support and camaraderie and coming together that is really gives me great hope in our communities and our ability to kind of weather the storm here. And I believe in a short period of time, we're all going to be looking back on this and having it be a real rally cry for us to, you know, treat each other with kindness and make the world a better place, even through difficulty.
As of this recording, 8 p.m. Thursday evening, Montana is reporting 15 confirmed cases. The state Thursday evening announced another 4 cases, 3 in Yellowstone County and 1 in Roosevelt County.
All of this is really fast moving and it's confusing sometimes. But listeners, we are here to answer your questions and we want to share the stories playing out in the place where you live. We want you to record yourself and tell us something.
You can send voice memos or questions to news@mtpr.org.
Or news@ypradio.org.
Thank you.
Hope everyone's hanging in there.
The Montana State Health Department is closing some public service offices today to limit face-to-face interaction amid the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. Applications for safety net services like SNAP, food assistance, TANF, cash assistance, and healthcare coverage can be done online, phone, fax, or mail.
It's just a different way of providing those essential services that we provide.
Sheila Hogan, director of the State Health Department, says this won't change the agency's ability to provide a social safety net. Hogan says the office closures aim to protect vulnerable people that come into public offices. There is no timeline for when public assistance offices will reopen. Montana Governor Steve Bullock says school districts won't need to make up any in-person instructional time missed during the 2-week statewide closure he ordered Sunday. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports local school boards will, however, need to approve plans for remote learning and other services to maintain state funding if the closures are extended.
Bullock's office says schools need to take the next week and a half to craft a plan detailing 4 things: how they'll provide remote and online learning to students, school meals, services to students with disabilities, and other services typically given to students at school. Those plans need to be approved by local school boards in order for any remote or online instructional time to count towards state requirements and to maintain state funding. Butte Superintendent Judy Jonart says several districts are working with the state to craft a model plan to follow. Many districts are already providing meals and have an idea of how they will provide remote instruction if school closures last longer than 2 weeks. But Jonart says her district still needs to plan for how it will provide education and other support services to special education students.
We provide the support services, whether, you know, it's instruction, it could be speech and language therapy. It can be a plethora of kinds of support services. You can do it from in a remote location, but you have to make sure that we have identified this, how we're going to do it and for how long we will do those. And so the individual education plans will probably need to be amended.
Jonart says it's a tight turnaround to craft a larger plan for the district before it reopens March 30th, but she expects Butte will be ready to implement its plans by the deadline. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
Trucking is one of those things many people don't normally think much about, but these aren't normal times. Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien reports the coronavirus pandemic has Montana's trucking industry working overtime to keep supply chains moving.
By Barry Spook Stang's reckoning, there are a few sectors these days deserving of special recognition. Public health care, service industry, and grocery store employees, to name a few. But Stang, the executive director of Motor Carriers of Montana, an industry group representing over 300 local trucking interests, would be remiss if he forgot to mention long-haul truckers.
You know, if something happens to the trucking industry, it doesn't take long for your grocery stores to have empty shelves.
Too many shelves are already bare due to ongoing and unnecessary COVID-19-related panic buying and hoarding. Experts say supply chains are uninterrupted and there is no shortage of food. Steng says truckers are doing their best to keep up with demand.
There's pictures of trucks lined up for over a mile, for example, in front of a Procter & Gamble distribution center that distributes cleaning supplies and toilet paper. And those trucks may sit in that line for 7-8 hours while they wait to get loaded before they can get on the road to deliver to your local grocery stores.
The Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, which regulates national trucking operations, recently lifted hourly driving restrictions. That permits drivers hauling everything from groceries and paper products to critical medical supplies to spend more hours on the road than normal.
This is the first time in my 20 years here that I've seen a nationwide relaxation of these rules to try to get food on the shelves.
Steng adds it's important truckers don't push themselves to the point of unsafe driving. He says trucking companies do a good job of tracking their fleets to ensure drivers get enough rest. Those drivers are already facing more scrutiny. The Wall Street Journal reports some shippers and receivers now demand drivers sign affidavits saying they aren't sick. Industry groups are asking truck stops be allowed to stay open, even as many other restaurants and service-oriented businesses are shuttering in the name of public health.
The truck stops across the country are kind of the lifeline for the truckers if they run out of fuel or they can't eat.
Many truck stops are now shifting from a sit-in dining arrangement to a curbside takeout model. Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.
Doctors are now cleared to check in with patients over the phone as part of the effort to minimize the number of people in healthcare facilities. Kay Erickson reports private health insurance companies and Medicaid are relaxing telemedicine requirements during the coronavirus pandemic.
Starting on Friday, people covered by Montana Medicaid will be able to speak to medical providers by phone or secure online communications instead of just video chat. Medicaid will also pay for telemedicine services for providers seeing patients living in the same community. Patients no longer need to establish a face-to-face relationship before using telemedicine with a new provider.
As of yesterday, we began to offer what we're calling virtual visits, so connecting our local providers to local patients, and we feel this is a great benefit.
Eric Connell of Daniels Healthcare Center in Scobie says he expects these virtual visits to maintain a sense of calm and normalcy in the face of the global pandemic. The changes apply to medical, behavioral, and substance abuse treatment. The four private insurance companies in Montana are taking similar but varied steps voluntarily, following new guidelines from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Some are waiving copays and deductibles for telehealth visits and allowing early prescription refills. The telemedicine changes come a day after the governor announced testing and treatment for uninsured Montanans would be paid for with state Medicaid and potentially federal funds starting on Monday. Private insurance companies announced last week some costs for COVID-19 testing and treatment, like copays and deductibles, will be waived. I'm Kay Erickson with Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Some bookstores in Montana say they're seeing higher sales as more people become homebound and public libraries close due to the novel coronavirus. Rachel Kramer reports.
Ariana Paleobakis, owner of Country Bookshelf in Bozeman, says she and her staff are grateful they can get books to people.
Stories are vital to our way of making sense of the world and our way of understanding and relating to each other. They can bring comfort, they can entertain, they can inform, and so I think books and stories are absolutely essential during difficult times.
She says book sales have actually increased over the last couple of days.
The response has been tremendous, actually.
Last Saturday, the day after the first four in-state COVID-19 cases were confirmed, Country Bookshelf announced it would offer free deliveries in Bozeman and Livingston and curbside pickup. Paleobagus says the store also dropped the $5 shipping cost to $1 for any location in the U.S.
We've been getting a lot of orders for all those options. And we've been getting orders not just from our local community, but from customers around the country. And also our local customers have also been having us send books to their friends and relatives in other parts of the country.
Paleo Vega says she's seen more orders for kids' activity books since they're out of school and a slight increase in fiction over nonfiction. She says staff are happy to provide recommendations over the phone. Events with authors will be moved to Facebook Live whenever possible. Bookstores from Billings to Missoula say they've also seen a small spike in online sales, with some people stocking up with 5 to 15 books at once. While most libraries in Montana have closed, some, like Williston Community Library in North Dakota, are using Facebook Live to read books.
So if you've ever attended a story time of mine, you'll know that I love Llama Llama books, and so we're going to probably read a couple in this time frame, okay?
And lead activities with supplies most people already have in their homes. The Billings Public Library is offering free daycare for essential healthcare workers and first responders. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
Llama Llama, red pajama, reads a story with his mama.
Rent and mortgages are due April 1st for a lot of people. With many Montana County Health Departments closing down bars and restaurants, a lot of people are wondering how to pay bills. Morgan Levy has been looking into whether landlords, banks, and utilities are easing deadlines. She shares her reporting with Nikki Willett.
Morgan, thanks so much for chatting with us.
Thanks for having me, Nikki.
So a whole lot of people are either out of work or their hours have been really cut back as counties close down bars, casinos, distilleries, restaurants. How are people feeling during this time of financial uncertainty?
Yeah, that's a great question. People are really nervous and have a lot of anxiety around paying bills. And while some people feel okay about covering their rent or mortgage for April, it's the coming months that are really worrisome. I spoke with Brittany Whitcop, who is a 23-year-old server at the Montana Club in Missoula. On Tuesday, the restaurant closed sit-in dining, and Brittany's hours were cut completely. I asked her how she was feeling about her upcoming rent and car payments.
I'm pretty covered for this month because I've been saving, knowing that something was going to happen like this. But next month is not looking good.
I also spoke with Ashley Mitchell. She's a house cleaner in Billings. Her hours haven't been cut yet, but the company she works for has had cancellations, and she's nervous that she will have reduced hours.
I don't know how much my hours are going to get cut. And not only that, like, I have a car payment and I have a utility payment, and it's kind of overwhelming. I've had to sell a few things for me to be able to make sure that I can actually buy groceries.
Now, Brittany was told by the restaurant she works for to apply for unemployment. This is an option for people whose hourly work is impacted by the coronavirus. It's also worth noting that unemployment insurance benefits have been greatly expanded in Montana.
So that's good for hourly employees, but what about small business owners or people who are independent contractors?
Yeah, unfortunately, unemployment is not an option for independent contractors. I spoke with Katie Gunsler, a real estate agent working primarily in Missoula and Ravalli counties. She's had a ton of cancellations since people are really worried about letting strangers into their homes and transferring the virus. Gunsler doesn't rent, but she does own her home and has a mortgage to pay.
The ability to pay our mortgage won't be an issue immediately. It certainly will be. It's scary because you're just not really sure when things are going to get back to normal.
Luckily, as of Wednesday, the Federal Housing Finance Agency ordered mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to be lenient on homeowners who are struggling to pay their mortgage. They will suspend foreclosures and evictions for homeowners for at least 60 days due to the coronavirus. And people who have lost income may qualify to make reduced payments or stop payments altogether for 12 months. But it's really important to note that you must contact your lender to make an arrangement.
It seems like there is some relief on the horizon, though. On Wednesday, the Senate passed a massive stimulus package that provides for sick leave, free coronavirus testing, unemployment aid, nutrition assistance. And as of 6 p.m. Thursday, when we're recording this, a third stimulus package has been agreed upon by Senate Republicans. Are there more relief measures in this third package for people facing uncertainty?
Yes. The plan includes sending a $1,200 check to American adults who make up to $75,000 a year. And an additional check of $500 will be sent for each child. So I asked Ashley Mitchell, the housekeeper from Billings, if this money would make a difference for her.
That would help so much, honestly. It would cover my rent and my car payment and groceries.
But that's just for a month, and we don't know how long people will be out of work. So I also asked Brittany Whitcop, the server in Missoula, how this would impact her.
Probably be beneficial for about a month. If you're trying to keep up an apartment, that won't last long.
I know a lot of banks are closing their offices and asking people to go online, but do their deadlines for loan payments and mortgages, are those still in effect?
No, people should not be penalized. I talked to Jack Lawson, the president and CEO of Clearwater Credit Union. They know this is a financially difficult time for a lot of people and are doing a few things to help their clients.
We're allowing those in need to skip loan payments with no fees or penalties. We're allowing additional transfers from saving accounts into checking accounts. We have increased credit availability on credit cards.
I got an email from my electric company earlier this week, Northwestern, and they say they're not going to cut people off if they miss their bill, which is nice. What other kind of help is out there for utilities?
Yes, you are right. If you are having financial difficulties, you should call your utility company ASAP to sort out a plan. These companies are handling people on a case-by-case basis, and this also goes for your bank. I also spoke with Erin Madison. She's a spokesperson for Northwestern Energy. She said the company wanted to warn people there might be a rise in their utility bills in the coming months since all of us will be spending much more time at home.
With people being home all day instead of being at work or the office, they're going to be using more power than what they're used to.
To cut back on your energy use, you can do things like limit screen time, turn off lights when you leave a room, and a big one is turn down your thermostat and just dress warmly while you're in your home.
Well, Morgan, thank you so much for looking into this and sharing your reporting.
Thanks, Nikki. It was great to talk to you.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds Monday morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.